Episode 326, October 17th, 2017.
Mike O'Mara, Radio Entertainment.
This is the Rob and Joe Show.
The Dave Chappelle and Louis C.K. of Fire Hall Comedy.
The Rob and Joe Show.
This is the racist Rob and racist Joe Show.
Some of their best friends are black.
The Rob and Joe Show, my two favorite guys.
You're listening to the Rob and Joe Show.
Come on, everybody, let's get to the brainstorming.
I've worked with Rob and Joe before, and they do an amazing job.
Go back on that Rob and Joe Show.
The Rob and Joe Show.
Now on with the countdown.
With a combined 73 firings, if you count marriages in the Baltimore Comedy Factory, here's Rob Mayer and Joe Robinson.
It's the Rob and Joe Show minus Robbie Robinson.
No,
don't do that.
That's
Marcus.
God, this, yeah, just I just got back memories of this, of the drama from just a couple weeks ago. So I miss you, Robbie. I wish you were here. I'll make that very clear.
He is a guy. It's funny because I talked about this last week about, you know, we need to be stroked a little bit, right? Not our egos, but so we can, because then when you come on and you're in a creative field, you need to be affirmed. It's true. Yes. People need to, if you're playing a song, somebody needs to be there to appreciate it. If you're painting a, you know, some piece of art, somebody needs to be there to say, yes, I affirm what you do. It's good. If not, I mean, maybe there are people who therapeutically paint, good for them, but that's not, usually it's there to display. And if you display something, maybe it's for you, but for the most part, it's for others. I mean, are people really sitting there writing comedy for themselves? No, it's for others. That's why it's written. So I guess that's what, you know, Robbie must need that too in his, you know, producer role. So that doesn't, I get that a little bit. I understand that.
I totally get that. And the reason we're not doing the Robbie's not available tonight is, if you remember last week, I said I could not do Monday night because I'd be flying home from Orlando, where I was to perform at the Orlando Improv Thursday, Friday, Saturday, and Sunday nights. And Saturday night, I was going to finally meet in person, have drinks, break bread with the great Mac Bergson.
But is he mad?
In the ultimate Bergson battle move, I think Scott Bergson got me banned from the club and the trip was canceled.
Well, you're not banned from the club.
No, I'm kidding about the Scott Bergson part. But I am scheduled to fly out Thursday morning. And Wednesday afternoon, I get a text from... The way it works is there's a guy in Columbus, Ohio, who is the hub. He books, you know, he's a bigwig in the Funny Bone chain. And the Orlando Improv is owned by the same people. And he essentially books all the features. And so therefore you email him, and then he has his assistant, this woman, who basically does the responding to the emails. And can you do this date? And you're locked in. Here are the details, yada, yada, yada. So I get an email from her, urgent, respond. Are you on your way to Orlando? Hit me back. So I'm like, well, that can't be good. There's zero good that can come from this. So I'm like, now I fly out tomorrow morning. What's up? She's like, well, there's been some communication, and might be double or triple booked. I'm like, I'm talking with Dave. He's the main guy. And then the woman down in Orlando, the manager. And I'll let you know once we know something. So I look at their website. They have a guy headlining on Wednesday. And then I go to that guy's Facebook or his website. And I see that he's there all week. So I'm assuming if me and he, if we're double booked, me and that guy, well, he's winning because he's already there. He's literally
right.
So I'm thinking, okay, well, if we're choosing between who's screw over, they're not going to screw the guy over that's right there in their club about to headline in 4 hours. So, and then they hit me back that Tony Roberts is bringing his own people. So maybe that this guy's getting screwed too. So,
you know, it's funny. We, one time we did a show in, where is Ramin's room with that prison? What's that? What is that? Lorton?
That's in Lorton, Virginia. Yes.
And Kim Ambrose, who's on the murder mystery, came down by accident. She didn't know she wasn't on the show and she came down and we kicked her some loot.
Yeah.
I mean, we felt obligated to her. And again, I'm not, listen, this is not Rob Mayer talking. I'm just asking you, and you can be diplomatic if you want to, but don't you feel like the club owes you at that point? You're coming from out of town. That's a lot different than if there's a local guy. If there's a local, they can just say, hey, come back next week when, you know, Bill Burr's here or whatever. You literally have a ticket. You're on your way flying down. Obviously, you couldn't book anything. I mean, that's a huge deal to cancel on somebody who's coming from Maryland to Florida. Do you feel like it bought you anything?
Well, see, this is the thing. It's, I mean, I feel like I should be in good standing. I mean, I've, you know, we got the murder mystery. And I know that the clubs we've done this at, Richmond, Syracuse, Albany, Virginia Beach, have spoken highly of it. It's been profitable for them. It's been well attended and it's been enjoyed. And I know that the other clubs are on the radar. And I know that every Monday, you know, there's a big conference call between all of the clubs and they talk about the numbers and this and that. And I know that the main guy in Columbus is aware of this. I also,
so you think
know,
he'll say, hey, just want you guys to know, Rob Mayer, by the way, you're also funny. That's what really, if you're not difficult and funny, you should already be working, which you are. But now they're like, this guy, let me tell you what this guy did for us. On less than 24 hours notice, he canceled a flight to come all the way down here. They had to know you bought your tickets. You don't show up and buy them. You buy them in advance.
Of course, right.
Did they refund you?
Well, that's interesting you say that because Rob told me the story. I just assumed, and that's, I've never canceled a flight.
I'll get to that. So,
yeah, 100 times I've been on a plane, I've never done that. So I didn't know how it worked.
Let me finish my standing with them story first. So then I had Tommy Davidson ask for me. I've had Bob Marley, not the reggae singer, the comedian.
Oh, he's
asked for me. I know, but some people are stupid. Scott Apple doesn't know that. I've had
of course
recently in the last year, and at that very club in Columbus, David Koechner requests me. I have now Tiffany Haddish requesting me. So you can't get too much different in terms of audiences than Tiffany Haddish and David Koechner. So, you know, these are, so that speaks to me that I have, you know, this basically now an A-list movie star, Tiffany Haddish, asking for me, with it's going to get predominantly black audience, and David Koechner, not an A-list, but a guy everybody's known for his face for 20 years, and predominantly white audience asking me. So I'm clearly a commodity, but that buys me nothing. I mean, I'm not even like on the main list of getting 12 to 15 feature dates a year. I'm still on the outskirts. Now, part of that's because there's 1,000 guys wanting to do this, and once you get in, it's just easier to keep you in than to replace.
Well, I understand that, but I give an example. I used to work the Improv. Matter of fact, I was in their whatever contest where I placed. I was in the I was one of the comics on that showcase they had to be on that HBO show. Meaning I was on the short list at back in 2009 of the comedians that they had in their rotation to get regular work there. I went away, and then I came back, and that's not available to me anymore. It's not. Now, maybe I could have been more aggressive in terms of, you know, getting exposure and so forth, but I understood, and I've never really just been like, okay, I'll just do the murder mystery there, and I'm good to go. I really don't do stand-up anymore anyway. But the point is that you are, how funny you are has to enter in. Yes, these other acts want you.
You would
think. It should. That should be very. Look, we know a local comedian who is good friends with a very, very successful regular touring headliner. So I get that. If you bring your own feature, there's pretty much nothing that the club can do about it. They're always going to say, yes, if you're our headliner, you can bring whoever you want. But if they're not, it does surprise me, especially after this, that you wouldn't be on the very, very short list of people. But I mean, how many times have you done poorly? Zero?
Yeah, zero. Well, and we'll see what happens. But the thing with this date is this wasn't a moneymaker for me. I wasn't going to make, I mean, I wasn't going to lose money, but I would, if I didn't, I would make money, more money being at home doing local gigs and not paying for a flight. And I would spend less money at home, obviously, than I would, you know, where I have to be out and do things. So this, I wasn't taking this for the money.
Well, no, so I understand that. Yeah, and they
But so financially, this wasn't a hit. But when I first heard this, my first thing was like, fuck, I can't, Mac can't get screwed. I mean, he's driving 3 hours. He's getting a hotel. He's obviously paid for tickets. So I message him and I'm like, dude, I'm sorry. Please tell me you can get out of the hotel or whatever. And he's like, no, I want to see Tony Roberts, the headliner. I wasn't there for you. No, he didn't say that. But he was able to cancel his hotel. But this is the part where I'm a little the most perturbed as of right now. I email. But the other thing is when they canceled on me, the woman said to me, this is why we like you to reach out to the contact of the club and confirm with them in advance. And I was like, I did. On September 28th, I emailed saying, hey, touching base with you. No response. And then 2 days before I emailed saying I want to know the information for the hotel. And she did get back to me and said, yes, we have a hotel for you. I'll get you the information ASAP, which didn't come. So then I emailed the same woman who I've never met in Orlando. And I said, hey, my friend was coming to see me. Could you refund his tickets? Here's his name. He was coming to both shows Saturday night. And she didn't get back to me. So I don't know where that stands. And so that's
a
part that's going to bother me the most.
Well, yeah, but also, and again, I know you can't be undiplomatic about this, but the fact that they're trying to find a reason that it's your fault is that would infuriate me. There's not they have you, right? You want to work this club, you can't be outraged. But how about hey, our bad? That's why she tried to find a way that it was your fault. Meanwhile, how about when you said, "Well, no, I did that." Oh, I'm sorry.
She was very apologetic and everything. So I never met this woman, the woman in Columbus, but she's been very cool with me and because we have this thing in Cleveland coming up where I'm supposed to work with Tiffany and now that's getting all weird and she's working on that. But I also know that she's, you know, she's down on the totem pole. She's just a message giver. So
well,
she can't really.
Well, is she worried about being in trouble? See, I don't, again, I'm sure she's
No, she's
very
on
nice.
My side. She's okay. Fighting for me, but she doesn't. She doesn't have any clout.
Yeah, but this is why I comment. I know you're I get it.
No, but that's the truth. She's not. She's just relaying messages. She's like the assistant.
So somebody said to her, he should have contacted us, and then you said I did. So someone said this to her, and she just relayed.
Well, I'm saying she's look. I don't think she should have said that because I did contact her, but that the woman in Orlando that I contacted should have responded. That's the fault.
Because yeah, clearly, yes. Again, yes. Look, every comedy club is run this way. So it's not like you're like, get your shit together. No, every one of them, this is the way they're run. If you don't know this, then it's your fault. So you already know. I mean, they triple book because they can. It's a safer way to do things. People bring their own features. They give you another date. I mean, that's a very normal thing to do. In this case, someone as funny as you who's willing to fly down there and work for whatever a feature works at that club, and then you cancel 24 hours notice, that should mean something. I mean, if you weren't hilarious and consistent, it'd be different, but you are. So, you know, again, I just know how I would treat it and how I try to treat the people that work for us. You know, I want to make sure, hey, I want to take care of these guys because I want them to know they're appreciated. You know, I do. But, you know,
yeah,
I mean.
No, you're right, but I don't have, there's no recourse for me. I just have to take it.
I understand that. I'm just talking about from their perspective.
From their perspective. You know? Yeah. Well, look, from their perspective, you know, a feature in an A room, the fee has been, you made the same 20 years ago.
Sometimes less. Less
30 years ago, literally less.
In every room in America, ticket prices have gone up. Drink prices have gone up. Attendance has remained the same. Everything is the same, but this tiny little amount of money that goes to the first and second comedian, that's reduced. I mean, you think about what a minimal effect that's going to be, even over the course of a year. You know, what you're going to save by taking it away from the people, but they're restaurants that have comedy. I'm not talking about these guys. I'm talking about, in general, things you see in other places. I'll tell you what, I will give Magoobies credit. That is a club that respects the comedian. They do. They respect the comedian. It doesn't really matter how far down the totem pole you are. You know, if you go there, you pretty much don't pay to get in if you're a comic.
Yeah,
and there's seats available.
I've also, I get treated, you know, really well by Rick, the general manager in Virginia Beach, Jason in Richmond, and the people and Laura and Syracuse, and so I've had really good experiences with all these
clubs. Yeah, you don't have to. This is coming from me. It's not coming from you. You've done nothing other than cancel that gig and say, I'll wait for my next gig. I'm just talking about, you know, look, you're not saying these things. I am. And yeah, I'm not
and
trying
I,
to work
I
there.
Feel bad because I really was looking forward to hanging out with Mac, and I know his plans got changed, and I feel shitty for that. But so I called Delta, and, you know, I'm not expecting them to give me a refund. I'm hoping for a credit. So my flight is $261, and I wait on hold for an hour and 20 minutes.
Wow, seriously?
Now, they said it was going to be that long, and they also said I could have, you know, they can call you back. And I was like, well, whatever. I just might as well just have the phone on speaker. What's the difference? So, you know, I finally talked to a woman, and she goes, yeah, well, we can give you a credit, but there's a $200 change fee, so that will leave you with a $61 credit. And I go, man, that's unfortunate. There's nothing you can do. I mean, I'm a comic. I was going down, and I never do this. I never say what I said. I was a comedian. I was going down to Orlando for a show, and it got postponed. She goes, well, when's the new date? I said, well, we don't know the exact date yet, but there will be another one. She goes, hold on. Comes back. Okay, full credit, $261.
So it's almost like you said you were in the armed forces. Yeah.
Yeah. They tend to respect the comic more than the club did. But I'll take it. Thank you, Delta. Now, I don't know if it helps that I'm a Delta member or whatever, their mileage club, whatever it's called. Maybe that gives me a little more standing, that it shows that maybe I fly more, although they can see the miles and see that I haven't flown that much. But I appreciate it, Delta, and that will help in my further decision making on what airline to use. I will lean Delta if I possibly can.
You know, it's weird is that you're kind of giving them an endorsement, but you're also letting them know you got preferential treatment. What do you think is going to happen now? People are going to be like, you know, Rob Mayer really likes Delta. We're going to fly them. Or they're going to say, well, if I ever try to get a refund, I better say I'm a comedian.
Do you think, you know, here we are sort of complaining about the comedy industry. And, you know, we see all this Harvey Weinstein stuff. And, you know, not that people didn't think that Hollywood, you know, was a sleazy business in a lot of ways. But it's coming to light now. You can't deny it. Is every industry just fucked up, or is this just is this unusual, or is the home builder industry fucked up, or is the medical profession and doctors and nurses?
Yes.
Is everything is just fucked up?
Yes.
And unfair.
Yes, everything is fucked up. Yes.
Okay.
Everything is. Let me tell you,
if that makes me feel better or worse. But
speaking of the home builders industry, I don't know if you have to take a break. Of course, I'm buying a home. It's bought, actually. Now we're just waiting to settle. It's being built. I don't think we can back out now. Once they start building it, you're screwed.
You're locked.
So we went to Gallery. Do you even know about these scams of new home when you're building a new home? Here's how it works.
I haven't bought many new homes, so no, I don't know.
So they are your realtor, right? They are your lender. They are your designer. I mean, they're everything. And the way that it works is you buy the home. Obviously, you negotiate with them what you want to pay for it. And then they give you these incentives if you borrow through them. So then they're also lending you the money. If not, you don't get these incentives. And you can never really save the amount of money that you can save going through a different lender than them, because then you don't get this. Now, you can try to strong arm them. But we tried that, and, you know, we got a little bit, but not a whole lot. So we go to Gallery, and that's where you go to pick out your stuff. Now, they can screw you. You have to buy the house before you even go to Gallery. You understand? Most people buy their house, and then they don't know what their house costs. They're just showing up there, and they're like, did you want a wall? Okay, that's going to cost you. I mean, I'm not kidding. They're so good. And I knew this was coming, but we went ahead of time to get an idea of what we would have to spend, because I didn't want to be surprised and my house ends up being $100,000 more than I thought it was going to be.
Sure.
But seriously, when you get the base, like, they go, okay, well, this is what your, you know, faucet fixture looks like, the base model. It looks like a piece of aluminum foil. You know what I mean? And they're like, now, if you want water to come out of it, you're going to have to upgrade to the, you know.
Right.
So we end up doing that.
You want hot and cold water.
So we do that, and we end up coming in way under budget. We did really well. So I go, you know what? We want to get a deck. Now, we had beforehand, we said, hey, if we decide to get the deck after we go to Gallery, can we add it? And this lady was helping us. She said, yes. Yes, you can. I said, okay. We leave Gallery. We leave it. We're just leaving it. Send her a message. Hey, we want the deck. She goes, all right, let me check to see if we can add it. I was like, what? So she comes back and she goes, okay, it's going to be a $500 fee because they have to redraw the permits or whatever. I said, and I go, absolutely not. I said, I mean, I hate to be a Robbie, but I mean, it's $500. And she just lied to me. She's trying to gouge me for $500, right? I said, no. I said, I have an email from you that said that I could add this after Gallery. And now you're saying you'll see if I can. Oh, yes, you can. You owe me $500. She said, instead of saying, oh, I'm sorry, I didn't realize this. By the way, they're just trying to get $500 from me. Just like this person at Delta, no offense. If you didn't fight it, you just would have paid $200 for something you would have not have had to pay for. You just, you know what I mean? It was two more sentences, and then you saved $200. So there are, yes, thank you for not fucking me over, but that is initially what you just tried to do. So this lady's like, give me $500. I said, no. I said, no, but I want the deck you promised me in the email. I told you, she goes, send me the email. And it made my blood boil because, first of all, my email, hey, I couldn't find it. Okay, now that's the first thing. But the second thing is, I said, my email I sent from my work computer, I can't get it until Monday. Can't you just go into your sent items and see what you said to me? So it heard nothing back. So I called her and I go, you're going to make me wait 3 days to find out what you said to me? Now, by the way, I forgot to say something. I did something I never do. I never do. I threaten litigation. I never do this. I'm not one of those guys.
This is such a Robbie thing. Good job.
I never do this. Here's what I said to them, but it was sincere. I said to them, here's what we'll do. You'll either waive it or I'll bring you a $500 check and I'll just file a small claim and you'll have to reimburse me. It's your choice. You've committed to that I could do this and now you're trying to charge me $500. So when I called her up, she goes, well, you didn't have to threaten me. I said, wait a second. You're trying to steal $500 from me. I'm not mad at you. I'm not upset at you for trying to, you committed to something and now you want $500 from me. You committed to it. I'm not mad at your thievery. I'm just saying, hey, treat me fairly. And you would say that's a threat. No. When you told me something and then pretended like you didn't say it. That's the issue. What's the word I'm looking for? The impropriety is there, not me saying, right, please don't fuck me over, right? Anyway, so she says, okay, I found the email. You get your deck, okay? She said, hey, the guy's going, I'm not going to be able to do this until Monday. Okay, no problem. At about 3 o'clock, so it was fresh in my mind, 3 hours ago, I said, hey, I haven't heard from you. She goes, hey, this is a process. I have to do blah, 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 this, that, and the other. I said, lady, you're the one that said Monday. I don't know nothing of Monday. It's your, what do you have a fucking 2-inch, 2-minute attention span? When you forget, as soon as you type something, you forget what you wrote. You said Monday, and now I'm calling at the end of the day on Monday saying, hey, remember the thing you promised? God, it makes me nuts. But of course, there's nothing I can do. I own the house. I've committed to it.
So you're still up in the air whether you're going to get your deck or not.
No, well, again, I now have emails where I'm promised the deck.
Right.
Meanwhile, what happened the first time when I said, hey, can I add the deck to After Gallery? And she said yes immediately. What happened in the week that went by that when I then said the exact time that I was going to get the deck, and then she said, oh, I forgot everything I ever said. You can't get the deck. Let me see if you can. Oh, you can. Give me $500. By the way, the email that came back that said I can add the deck, it came in 30 seconds. It right. was an immediate response.
Yeah, of course you can. Why couldn't you, by the way? Can I add and pay you more money afterwards? Yes. Well, what other answer would there be? God.
Well, can I get booked?
Can I get booked to do tell jokes on your deck when you get it?
Of course you can, man. But the point is there are no the permits, whatever. I mean, maybe somebody who listens to the show knows about this. Every fucking house has a deck.
They don't need permits. It's their property. They know what they can build already.
Of course they can build a deck. Every house has a deck.
The permit is some form letter that they just send. It's their whatever. Rob and Joe shall be right back.
Jealousy, revenge, and a movie stunt gone horribly wrong. Hi, it's Justin from the 98 Rock Morning Show, and I'm not describing my weekend. I'm talking about the newest murder mystery from Die Laughing Productions, Halloween Whodunit. You've seen me play detective, a reality TV show judge, and even Marty McFly. Well, this time, I play M. Night Shyamalan, the world's most celebrated film director, working on his new horror project. When someone is killed on the movie set, I go from directing the actors and cameramen to directing a murder investigation. And as always, you can play a part in solving the crime too, and maybe even play one of the suspects. Be a part of the mayhem and hilarity for which Die Laughing Productions has become renowned. Halloween Whodunit, don't miss it.
Next performance, October 22nd at Magoobie's Joke House in Timonium. For more information on upcoming show dates, please visit DieLaughingProductions.com.
Now, back to the Rob and Joe Show.
Do you think when you move into the new house, you'll find a steaming pile of shit on your new deck?
But here's the thing. It is funny you say that, because now I have to go in and I have to see this lady. She's the villain. You understand? Like, I now I'm like, God, I don't want to have to see her after she's created all these problems. But it is typical of people. I guarantee you she thinks I'm a pain in the ass. I guarantee it.
Of course.
Meanwhile, all I really did was say, hey, do what you promised me you'd do. Wait, excuse me? You want me to do what I said I would do? You're very difficult.
And she's lucky because usually dealing with Robbie or Tawanda, because Tawanda is very Robbie-like. And then, and she, by the way, whenever I tell her a Robbie story of that kind of thing, she's completely on Robbie's side. It doesn't
she's
even
She's high-fiving
why,
herself.
She doesn't see why it's weird at all. She's like, of course, why wouldn't he do that?
She can't possibly be okay with when he checked into a hotel 4 hours early and then got mad and said he'd never go there again when they didn't have his room ready. Well, she couldn't have been on his side there.
Sometimes I probably don't tell her that because, you know, I want her to love Robbie. Yeah. See, I look out for you, Robbie. Now, the reason Robbie is not on the show because obviously we were going to do it on Tuesday because I wasn't going to be home until Monday night. And then that changed. So that meant Monday was available and we could do things status quo. But Robbie had already posted about it and made plans. And so when I said, let's switch it back to Monday, that apparently threw off his universe, and therefore that's why this is a long story that we got to it, but that's why it's me, Joe, and Marcus tonight, and no Robbie. Everybody on the same page?
Yeah, it was a little, I don't want to get into a whole Robbie thing, but it was odd. The initial reason that he didn't have to do it. We said, hey, you can have the week off. It's no problem, which is what he wanted. But his initial issue was he would have to retype when the show was. That was the initial thing he had a problem with. Now, honestly, if I'm being honest, I don't know how much time and effort goes into changing that. It seems easy, okay? Yes. I might be wrong about that, but it seems easy.
It has to be easy.
Come on, Joe. You know how long it takes. It takes 2 seconds, for God's sake.
I don't want to belittle it, because maybe he has to go into some graphics programs. Maybe it's not just like typing it. I don't know.
Well, there is a long consideration about whether or not, should I use capitals or small letters?
So you're saying it's easy is what you're saying.
Come on.
Yes, of course.
I have a feeling, and the plans, which were never defined, how much do you want to bet the plans are him binge watching whatever he's got on the TiVo right now?
Yeah, he had his mindset to be off. He had his mindset to be off. And that's fine. Yeah. I get it. I would like some shows off too. But some of the good things, though, that happened because of me missing out on this week is I got to do a couple things that I wasn't going to be able to do. Beginning with Friday night, I got to play poker with the guys, Joe included. And I won almost as much money as I would have made at the Orlando Improv. So
yeah, I knew you did well. I didn't do well. It sucks. I had won like the last 5 games. I was on a nice little roll in that game, but I drew a horrible seat, and I think I lost $350, and I said, enough. I'm not going to buy back into where I was sitting, so I rolled out. Yeah. Sorry, you probably cost you some money having me leave.
Probably. I won $450, and I took a big pot off former show announcer Tim, and that money is always the sweetest. And then Saturday night, you know, a couple weeks ago, Tawanda, I always try to get her to go to like a haunted house, like a Halloween thing. And I know you and Katie have gone. I know you told the story last year. And she goes, hey, if you know, Joe and Katie are going again this year, I'd like to go. I was like, okay, cool. I usually are.
Hey, do me a favor. Don't tell all the names of the people that went, because there's a story I want to tell about the guy that went with us, and I don't want to say his name. So you can say everybody else, but except for that one person. Okay, go ahead.
So I said, you know what? I'll look into that. And then I saw that she had invited me on Facebook, but it was going to be the Saturday where I was in Orlando. I was like, yeah, I can't do it. So once that got canceled, you know, I said to her, hey, we can do that haunted house thing now. Do you want to go? She goes, yeah. So it's this place. It's called Frightland. It's in Delaware, and it's $40, and they've got 8 different attractions, haunted houses, and hay rides. But you told me get the VIP, which is $60, and that gets you to cut in line, and it gets you the amusement carnival rides they have there, too. So
it probably cut an hour and a half off of our stay there. Agreed?
Yeah, it's the greatest $20 I've ever spent. Because I can't imagine, I guess if you're 16 and you're going, 40 and 60 is a big difference. But, I mean, it wouldn't have been fun if I had to wait in those lines. I'd rather not
go. No. Right? No. I was running out of material.
Yeah. So we drive up, and it was an awesome time. I mean, they really, it's in a pretty extensive setup.
Hey, let me ask you a question. If you already know the answer, then let Marcus guess. Do you know what they pay those people that help there? Do you know what they pay them?
I'm curious as well.
I actually know the answer. You want to guess?
I guess they pay them $15 an hour.
Marcus, would you like to guess?
I think they're minimum wage.
They are volunteers.
Oh, geez.
They pay them nothing.
Oh,
every
my God.
Employee there is there for free. Now, the parking there, which is $5 a head, goes to some charity. But someone is making wheelbarrows full of money. And by the way, all that shit that we saw, same stuff from last year. By the way, it's awesome, but it's done. This is paid for. I can't imagine how much money these guys make. I can't imagine how fun October is for the people that run that place. as there's just lines of, you know, kids in there that are working for free.
What a, because basically they make all their money in 1 month. Maybe it takes, you know, 6 weeks and the time to get it ready. Let's just say it's 2 months of work to between setting it up and cleaning up.
Month. I don't even know.
Well, they got to set it up and they got to rehire or whatever, and they got to clean it. And so even if it's 2 months of just, that's it. Your whole, that's all you do. And then you just have fun for 10 months. What, how do they get that seems like illegal.
Well, what they have to do is have they have to have three square miles of farm. I mean, they have to have that too. Somebody
you can't
owns
just
that.
Start this business, but I mean, it's such a moneymaker. But I was proud of Tawana. She didn't freak out and get as scared as much as I thought. Our friend Erica, poor girl. See, whenever they see you getting scared, like this, I'll take this hayride.
Blood in the
for
water,
example.
Right?
You sit on this hayride. There's about 30 people on it, and they take you through all these things, and they'll be like, you know, like some little, you know, shed, and then someone will run out and scare you. Then he'll literally run and jump onto the back of the hayride where everyone's sitting. And if he sees someone scared, like cowering over, he'll just get right in his or her face, usually her, and just for like 3 minutes or something, or they'll just follow you. And so Erica, they just saw she is terrified, and they just kept going and going and going for it. And I mean, I felt bad for her, but it was so hilarious.
It is true. It is. I don't know where else you're in a place where I'm laughing my ass off, but also terrified. Like when we were going around those corners, I realize it's just some high schooler is going to yell boo at me. I get that.
Right.
But, you know, I mean, it's still they do a great job there. They really do.
Well, look, you get terrified in a horror movie, too. And you're sitting in a movie theater. And
yes. You're safe next to the person you came with. Yeah. Right.
Right.
So.
But you have a story.
So when we went there, I have a large group of friends. Some people are into some different things, right? It's not necessarily what I'm into, but some people like to maybe partake in smoking some marijuana. Maybe that happens.
Sure.
And maybe one of the people that came with me was interested in doing something like that. So we get there, and as we're walking up, there's these long lines just to kind of get past into the place where you have to get your tickets. And I'm like, huh, I wonder what this is, whatever. They're like, separate guys and girls. Didn't even occur to me. They're getting ready to frisk people. I didn't realize until I was right up. Of course, I don't have anything on me. I'm not
a thorough frisking.
Well, that's the thing that's interesting, is that the person that was with me is obviously on something. Clearly he's on something. And I think I had the more aggressive of the two police officers. By the way, they're police officers.
Yeah.
I don't know. I know that that marijuana is decriminalized in Maryland. You get caught with marijuana, I think it's $100 fine. But in Delaware, I don't know. I watched Cops from like 10 years ago. There are people sitting in jail. Who knows, right? I don't know the rules, right? So as soon as we're up there, I'm like, we're here. And I would have said, oh, I forgot something in the car if I was him.
Yeah.
But he didn't. He just walked right up to the police officer. And I walked up to the police officer, and he's giggling and eating Fritos or whatever he's doing. And I'm scared, but I'm scared for him. I don't have anything. But the guy clearly saw me scared, saw him, and this guy gave me. I can't imagine that. Don't you have to have some sort of probable cause? I guess he did. But I just got in line. I guess I'm consenting if I'm in line. I'm telling you, this guy knew I had something on me, and he grabbed my balls like 3 times, grabbed my cock, grabbed my taint, went into my butt. I swear to God, he literally came. I mean, he, of course, he felt my legs and everything, but he was up inside of my genitalia and my most intimate of areas, because he's like, this motherfucker's got something. He thought he was going to bust me. Meanwhile, the guy next to me, where do you think he hit it? Do you know where he hit it, Rob? Did you hear him say?
I think it was in his belt or something.
He put it in the front of his belt like it was a belt buckle. And then when the guy felt it, he just went right by it. And this guy, he's probably the only guy that was able to get in there with this stuff. And he walked right in. But, I mean, the risk to bring this into Frightland, it was crazy.
Did you get the cop's number?
I'll tell you what. I was, it, the risk was not worth the reward. I mean, why didn't he just head back? But I was so, first of all, I was scared that he was put, I mean, I felt bad he was put in that situation, but he had to own it a little bit. But I guess he was up to the front. He's like, well, here I am. Let's see what happens. No chance if I was him, I would have done that.
Well, they also say no bags at all. And Tawanda had a fanny pack, a small one. And it was like on her side. And the female security guard said, you know, all it was in it was her cell phone and like her wallet. So there's nothing. You could look right in. There's nothing in it. That's, you know, there's no drugs or alcohol. And she goes, no, that's not allowed. So Tawanda just said, well, I'm going to go for it, follow this person. And when she got to the guy who frisked her, she just said it was part of her belt. And he's like, it was okay. And let her right in.
Maybe you just own it. Well, right. You're right. If you look, that's probably why I got that kind of frisking, because I looked guilty. That's why. Because yes, I was scared probably. Somebody else. But maybe it helped. But I'm telling you, if we went to the different people, I think he would have gotten busted. If I went to his and he went to mine, he would. By the way, can we look up what the laws are in Delaware if you get caught with weed?
So what would you have done if he got literally taken to jail right there?
I would have said, hey, dude, we're going to go to Frightland. And then afterwards, well, no, I don't know. I don't know. I don't like to think about it. Right. Obviously, I would have done whatever was necessary. But yeah.
All right. Delaware laws. All right. This is confusing. Up to 1 ounce civil penalty, no incarceration, max fine, $100.
Oh, cool. That's in Delaware?
Yeah.
All right, cool. Then we're good.
All right. Well, then we'll bring more next time. Let's take a break. Rob and Joe should be right back.
Hello, my name is Rob Robinson, but you all know me as Gramps. If it weren't for me, there would be no Rob and Joe show. If it weren't for my DNA, you'd be listening to the Rob and Ramin show. Or worse, if I decided to stop at one offspring, you'd probably be listening to the Dan Ninen show. So I'm speaking to you as someone who has provided you with top-notch entertainment for over half a decade. Become a Rob and Joe show patron on Patreon. Go to patreon.com/Rob and Joe Show. Do it now so you don't miss out on the premium content and some other great stuff. I did it. So should you. Now back to the Rob and Joe show.
So, Marcus, you'd said something interesting to me before the show, because you're going to be in New Orleans as well. You said, are we going to be able to grab a drink together? What do you think? I'm just going to go down there and ignore you for 3 days? I mean, what do you think is going to happen?
Well, I mean, you're going to be ultra consumed by the fans that are there to see you and to see the guys from TMOS. And, you know, you're going to love that adulation. But, you know, I was kind of hoping that you and I could go out and go grab a drink. And now that I think about it, because you and I are big poker fans, maybe we go run over to the casino and go grab a table and see if we can run it.
Hey, well, we all know the one time I played poker with you, I lost a big hand, and you told everybody I was the comedian that weekend, and just to out me and make me feel even smaller.
Are you guys going to get
drunk?
That's
a good idea. Well, I think we'll have a libation or two. Well, you know, I have to perform Saturday night, and I've already gotten a request to do the pie plate closer.
Yeah, all right. I acquiesce. Is that the right word? Go ahead and use it. Yeah.
I think that is the word. So I have some duties, but you're there. What are you there? Thursday to Monday or Thursday to Sunday or something?
I'm getting in there on Thursday. I'm leaving out on Sunday morning.
Okay. Well, we're there Friday to Monday. So, well, you've been there before, correct? You know the ropes. Well, we're going to want to hang out with people that know some things, so.
All right.
You know, obviously Todd is going to be down there, and you know, Tawana knows Todd and his girlfriend real well, so I'm sure we'll be hanging out. But you want to avoid? Are you afraid of getting some fandom yourself, some stalkers, people that want to go on Americast?
I think I'm going to spend plenty of time, and I'm going to make some concerted efforts to hang out with the fans and, you know, other people like me who are fans of the Rob and Joe show and TMOS, and, you know, hang out with them. But yeah, I'm going to need some downtime, but at the same time, if it's one-on-one, like you and I hanging out, or if it's you and I and Tawanda, that's fine. It's just a matter of do I want to hang out with 20 people? No, I don't want to do that. I'm going to need some breaks. So,
are you anyone you're trying to avoid?
No.
Well, he wouldn't say it on here if he was.
Well, they may not listen to our show. They'll never know.
What if somebody wants to buy the Robin Joe Show t-shirt you're wearing, of which there's only one?
You know, I should wear that. That would be a good weekend to wear that shirt.
By the way, is that a common thing? Because now that's the third time. Robbie, of course, has an irresponsible radio and a Robin Joe Show t-shirt that he made for himself. We had a rehearsal, and one of our performers had a Halloween whodunit t-shirt. They don't exist. He just made his own.
And it looked real good. Yeah.
It did look good. And now Marcus is going to have his own embroidered Robin Joe Show t-shirt.
Yeah,
do people just do that?
Why not? Because I can't get it any other way. And while I'm down there, I want to promote the shows.
No, I'm just saying, is that a common thing? I'm seeing it more and more. We can get a t-shirt that says anything.
Are there
AmeriCast t-shirts? You said you're making one. Is that the first one?
No. I've made AmeriCast shirts in the past, and it is a pretty prevalent thing. As a matter of fact, I happen to know the guy who owns the embroidery shop here in town. So, because I see him regularly for one-offs, not just for things that I'm doing, but other people that I do little projects with. So, yeah, it's pretty regular.
Are you going to get a Vermont Bucks t-shirt?
I burnt all those, but thanks.
Maybe someone should have some Nicky Diamond t-shirts made down there in New Orleans. Casey shows up and doesn't have to ship them.
I think we can arrange that.
Yeah, I might be profitable. You say I should bring my condoms.
Yeah,
I think that's a no-brainer. Yeah,
absolutely. You better be carrying a handful around.
Yeah, why not? I mean, they're so easy to bring. I might as well
throw them out in the audience.
No, $5, people. You pay for that. Throw them out. What is this, Joe? I'm trying to pay for my trip here.
If you can't, I'll tell you what. I'll give you $10 so you can give a couple to Merle, because I've heard from Nikki she's a sure thing. So we want to make sure she's well protected down in New Orleans.
We can do that. We've got some big weeks coming up. Big shows. We've got the murder mystery Halloween whodunit at McGoobie's this Sunday, the 22nd. We've got the DC Improv the 25th. We're efforting right now to get Rob Spiewak. And we've got Virginia Beach on the 29th, and then the Ram's Head in Annapolis on Halloween night. So four shows here coming up. I'm excited. I'm excited.
Well, we're gonna have
four out.
Yeah, huge audiences. We had two set. The first two shows were sellouts. I don't think that we've had a bunch of sellouts in a row, but we got an opportunity to sell out all these.
Yeah,
have we ever had six sellouts in a row for the same show? Have we done that?
No. I mean, it's tough to sell out a Sunday at McGoobie's or even.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
But are you a little, because, you know, Justin from 98 Rock, obviously a mainstay and the star, he and Eric maybe are the most popular people on our show. And 98 Rock does the morning show. They do this show called Uncensored, a live show. And he is using Eric Woodworth in the show they're doing a bit where he's in his underwear. I mean, are they stealing our show? Is that what's happening here, Jay?
Yeah. I mean, do we get intellectual property? I mean, can we copyright, or is that right? You copyright something? Yeah. Can we copyright Eric in his underwear? He probably was in his underwear long before we started doing that.
What do you think the chances are that at their sold-out show in Annapolis that they mentioned the murder mystery? They plugged it.
Huh. If I ask Justin to, I think there's a 100% chance. By the way, I'm going to be there. So I'll just go on stage and plug it.
Where do they do? I thought they just did the... Where do they do... I thought they just did it.
They're doing three.
Okay.
They are doing... Do you know they're doing an uncensored... Just days before the murder mystery.
Okay, I thought they just did it uncensored.
That was at a different location. So the one at Ram's Head in Annapolis, I believe it's like the 28th. And you know how many tickets are left for that?
Sold out, I think.
There's one. I saw one. If you're sitting there by yourself, you could buy the
chauffeur. Dave Chauffeur will get that ticket.
Yeah. The lone ticket, yes.
That's good though, right? Because that's good if Eric gets in front of that audience.
No, absolutely.
Some more Eric Woodworth fans, and he's deserving. I saw a picture, and I'm not sure exactly how this works, but there was an audience member, an attendee of the show, with his face in Eric's, right up on his ass.
I know how. I know what. Yeah. You want to know the bit? I know it.
I do.
So there's three large people, Eric Woodworth being one of them. I'm not sure who the other two are, and they're in their underwear. Now, I don't know if they're as liberal with their body exposure as Eric is, but these people are doing Justin Scott and Spiegel trivia. And every time they get a question wrong, the person in front of them takes a step back. So right. You have to get it right in order to keep this person's ass out of your face. And, of course,
this is perfect for Eric because he play it up. He's a showman.
I saw the picture, and it's not just that you know, Eric has his ass in this guy's face. Justin is physically holding this guy's face in Eric's ass. I'm like, are you allowed to do that?
I don't know, but Justin is smart. He picked the right person. It's not just that Eric is a big guy. He's going to play it up. He knows how to get the crowd up, and he knows how to he's good. He's a great physical comedian.
He is.
Oh, that had to be hilarious. Well, good for Eric.
Well, they're going to do it again. I'm going to see it. I need to look. I guess it doesn't matter. I don't need to plug it. It's just one ticket left. Maybe there's one. Right. They'll sell it. Go look at the Rams Head Annapolis calendar. You'll see when it is.
Anything else before we wrap this baby up?
No, that's it. Nothing. The only thing I have in my head is serious. So let's just roll on so Robbie doesn't get mad.
What's that about?
I'm not going to say. I'm not going to say how annoyed I am at Rose McGowan taking issue with James Corden's making fun of Harvey Weinstein. I'm not going to mention it.
Okay. Can we talk about Meryl Streep?
What did she do?
Well, no, it's just like, you know, your best friend's Harvey Weinstein. It's like, you can't really. I mean, you can shit on Trump and you can be right, but you can't take any moral high ground.
I mean, who are you referring to? I'm not following.
Meryl Streep, her best friend, or one of her closest friends, is Harvey Weinstein.
And what is she doing? Nothing?
Well, no, she's come out against them, but like you had to have known. It's not like, I mean, clearly everyone knew this was happening.
It would be difficult.
Secondhand or your rumors.
You're right. It would be difficult for me if you were raping women or improperly soliciting women in order for them to gain favor in some way. I would know.
Yes.
Are you sure? Should we ask Tawanda? Sure.
No, I am just sure that I would know.
When she says, and by the way, I agree when she said this, I forget which award show, about how, you know, when Trump's making fun of that disabled reporter, and that's just, I mean, that's just wrong. And it's, you know, it's sad that that's the face, the leader of our country. But Harvey's your best friend. So it's like, what? You can't. That's worse than voting for Trump. You realize that, right?
Yeah, of course. That's just a vote. This is a person you decide to align yourself with. You're absolutely
when
right.
When I say best friend, they're friends. I shouldn't say best friend.
Yeah, I don't know. I would be weird if they were best friends. They're texting each other emojis. It doesn't seem right.
Maybe. I don't know. But it got me thinking that I kind of, you know, this isn't fun. Again, I should have just said goodbye. But it does. I feel like that Harvey Weinstein is friends with Meryl Streep because Meryl Streep is like the, understandably, rightfully so, the idol of every actress.
Yeah, she is the.
So that buys him capital. Well, Meryl thinks I'm a good guy. Then that allows him probably the benefit of the doubt to get in the same room with these women and do these horrible things.
Now, is he's not accused? He's accused of using his position to ask for sex in return for either A, roles, or if they don't agree, that they'll never work. Is that it? I mean, he's what exactly is that? He's not accused of raping a woman. Oh, he's groping.
I don't know if there's rape, but there's definitely, you know, you can't just grab some woman's breast.
I'm not defending it. I just want to know what he's being accused of.
Well, he's accused of using his influence. Not like there's a woman that wrote that, you know, he came up to her at some get together and she was just so happy that he knew, because she, you know, she'd worked a little bit where she wasn't famous or anything, that she, that he knew who she was. And then he invited her back to her room and she said, well, I have a boyfriend. And he goes, yeah, I know who he is. He's a good actor, yada, yada, yada. And then she turned him down. And then he said, well, good luck with your boyfriend getting that role that he's auditioning for. And then, of course, the boyfriend never got the role. And then she went up to Harvey at a party the next day. And he goes, do I know you? So there's like hundreds of stories like that. So,
and that boyfriend, Tom Selleck.
Yeah. So, but that's why when I was saying about the industry, it's like when you watch the Academy Awards or the Golden Globes, like there's always some movie that Harvey Weinstein is connected to. And there's always, he's always thanked in a speech. There's always a shot of him. I mean, how do people do they just act like nothing's happening? Because they almost.
Yeah, I mean, people have to own some of this. Somebody's going to have to come out and say, hey, I knew and I looked the other way. They are.
Yes. Well,
you know, we're a forgiving society. And by the way, you know, he is without sin. I mean, obviously, you know, you open up anyone's closet, skeletons are going to come pouring out. If they, again, I'm not defending Harvey Weinstein. What I'm saying is that the people that kind of looked the other way, you know, I mean, who knows? I mean, maybe I've looked the other way, you know, in circumstances, and I'd want somebody to, I guess, let me off the hook for something like that, especially if there's somebody that kind of power, right?
Harvey Weinstein's assistant did more than look away. She participated. What is she?
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Well, that's the other thing is that
with Cosby, you know, same deal.
Yeah, but you're afraid of people who have that kind of status. I mean, he could obviously ruin their career, right? I mean, wouldn't that be a normal thing for you to say, look, well, give me my alternative. What was I supposed to do? Okay, maybe you'd be the bigger person and you'd be willing to give up your career and your pay and food out of your mouth and a roof over your head. Maybe you'd be willing to do that for this integrity, but am I a horrible piece of shit because I couldn't? Now, Meryl Streep, she probably has a greater responsibility. She probably does, because she's not going to, if she comes out and says something, people are going to listen. She has a greater responsibility than this girl who's keeping the Outlook calendar, you know, but
yeah.
Either way, I mean, I guess everybody's going to carry a little guilt. And of course the most is going to be with the sexual predator. But I mean,
I think a lot of it is, you work your ass off to become an actor. You go on these auditions and you fail, you make it. And now you're this big star. And A, do you want to lose that? And B, do you want to admit to yourself that this thing, this dream you had, that you're surrounded by shitty fucking people, that it's just a sick, it's just a bad industry full of bad people. Did you want that? Now this is your dream. You got it. And you're like, man, this is not what I thought it was.
I think the bigger question is, Rob, who do you have to sleep with at the Funny Bone in order to keep your gigs?
I know. I think, look, I'm on the track that we're doing shit ourselves, man. We're doing this murder mystery. We got this military thing that we're going to be announcing soon. That's a game changer. You know, we're carving our own path. So, you know, it might not ever lead to, you know, household names, Rob Mayer and Joe Robinson, but it can lead to us.
This being a way we make our money. Yeah, this can be a nice career for us. Absolutely. And by the way, we're this isn't some pipe dream. And we might be, you know, months away from us being in a position for this to be what we use to, you know, as our main source of income.
Yeah, no, things are on the horizon, folks. On that note, hey, come out to the murder mystery, the Halloween theme one. It's going to be awesome. It's going to be scary. Dress up, get into the Halloween spirit.
Hey, one thing about this one, and you can see the schedule on Die Laughing Production, is after these shows, it's done. You can't see it for a year. So this is a little bit unique in that, you know, we can do Back to the 80s at any month of the year. But this one is an October show, and after October's over, we're done. We aren't going to do it again until October, you know, 2018.
Yeah. So get on it, folks. Thank you, Robbie. We look forward to having you back next week. Marcus, great job. We appreciate it. We'll see you next week.
Later.
Mike O'Mara, Radio Entertainment.